So lately, I've been watching The Walking Dead, and no, by that I don't mean I've been watching CNN or Fox, or looking into the House of Representatives or Senate. Instead, I've been watching the series about zombies, about modern society. Anyway, I've been watching The Walking Dead, and one of the things I find most interesting is that it ends up that one of the characters, the actor had to remove himself from social media because he was receiving so many death threats because of the actions of his character. And I wish that I could say that this is a new phenomenon based on, the internetization of the world. But it's not. It goes back. The actor who played Roger Thorpe in the soap opera Guiding Light used to not infrequently get punched when he was out eating dinner because somebody would be really mad that how could he cheat on his wife or plot the death of his brother-in-law or whatever it was he was doing. And we can go further back and we can talk about Marcus Welby, MD, which was a television show about a doctor in the 70s, and how that program, the directors, producers, et cetera, used to receive like 50,000 letters a year asking for medical advice. And there are a number of lessons we could take from this. One is, I think that, I mean, one of them is rather depressing, and the other one is depressing or not, depending on how you look at it. The depressing one is that I think a lot of people have a lot of difficulty telling fantasy from reality. And we see this everywhere. We see this in the whole bright green movement where people believe that they will believe these fancy stories of how wind and solar will save the planet without thinking about the fact that everything in the wind and solar harvesting facilities came from a mine, and that mine was someplace's home, was somebody's home. And that home, they were kicked off their home, and then the land was destroyed to make those. And the same with the facilities themselves, that we will believe. One of the best lines I ever wrote, maybe the best line I ever wrote, was at the beginning of A Language Older Than Words. In order to maintain our way of living, we must tell lies to each other, and especially to ourselves. It's not necessary the lies be particularly believable, but merely that they be erected as barriers to truth. And so I think we are able to delude ourselves. And, I was just reading the other day about Lutherans being killed in Spain in the Inquisition. And this was a little bit unusual because usually it was Jews and Muslims who were burned to death in that particular incident, but lasting however long it lasted. But there was a group of Lutherans also who came under the eye of the Inquisition. And just the capacity for mass delusion, and it happens on individual levels too. I mean, a joke I used to tell at my talks was that I would say, "Am I the only person here who's ever been in a really bad relationship?" And then a bunch of people would laugh, and I would say, "Well, we can join a club." And then I would say, "Did you ever notice how if somebody tried to point out to you the flaws in the relationship before you're ready to hear them, you would get mad and say, why are you trying to ruin my perfect relationship?" And then afterwards, you can see what happened and you can, it's like, how did I miss that? And so my point is that our capacity to convince ourselves of a particular story that a particular story is true, and then to stick with that story in the face of all evidence is really powerful. And this can be true even when we are watching a show about zombies, about reanimated corpses on television. Evidently, the actions of one of the actors who is playing a human being can make other people so angry that they send him death threats. So that's sort of putting this all in a negative spin, and now we're going to try to spin it positively, which is, I think we forget too often that humans are fundamentally storytelling creatures. And by saying that humans are storytelling creatures, I am not implying that bears or trees or wombats are not storytelling creatures. I have no idea. What I do know is that humans are storytelling creatures. And that's how we learn to become who we are. And the bad news is that many of the stories that we've been told have been very, very destructive. And many of the stories that we've been told, I mean, I'm thinking of the Bible as an example of a story that tells us that we have dominion over the earth, and a story that tells us that there are situations in which it is acceptable for men to rape women. And, pornography tells that same story, that women are essentially orifices. And the power of storytelling is extraordinary, but we have to remember that when humans first evolved, one of the first things we did was to learn how to give thanks. And among our first depictions were, as Lear Keith says, the megafauna and the megafemales. And I know I'm jumping all over, but one of the problems with postmodernism is it takes the idea that there are all these stories out there, and then it presumes that because there are all these stories that there is no reality, which is just nonsensical. And the good news is there is reality. There are stories that can reconnect us to reality. There are stories we can tell ourselves and each other. If it is true that in order to maintain our way of living, we must tell lies to each other and especially to ourselves, it is also true that if we are to break this way of living, we must tell truths to each other, and we must tell stories that have as their basis a fundamental reality, and the fundamental reality that we're connected, the fundamental reality that we are embodied creatures. People believe stories. That can be a terrible thing. It can be a delusional thing. And it can also be... Judith Herman, who wrote Trauma and Recovery, wrote how one of the most powerful things for healing that a survivor of abuse can do is to tell the trauma story and to make meaning of that trauma story through its telling. And we hear so often that technology is neutral, which is demonstrably false. Mining leads to certain social structures, certain social organizations. And on the other hand, stories really are, I don't want to say that stories are tools, because stories themselves are alive as well, but stories can harm us and stories can heal us. And I suppose this is ultimately a call to artists to recognize the power and responsibility that you have when you begin to tell a story. And the responsibility is that, well, I guess the responsibility comes from the power, because if a story can convince somebody to send a death threat to an actor, I guess all I'm saying is we need to be aware of the power of those stories, and we need to take that responsibility very seriously. And given right now that the stories that this culture is telling are killing the planet, it has never been more important for us individually and collectively to parse out which stories are contributing to that murder of the planet, and which stories are contributing to the possibility of life on this planet continuing. It has never, ever been more important than now for us to think clearly about that and to shift our stories.